Good morning. We begin a new section of the Rav Volbi's Torah, known as Olam HaYedidus, in the world of friendship. And this next section is going to deal with issues concerning the role of the family. You have to remember that when he was talking about this issue, it had come right after some major, major debates that were going on, a tremendous amount of backlash in the community in regard to who can marry whom, which was a hot topic in Israel. It was a hot topic in Israel because the government had placed the role of the Jewish family in the hands of the religious parties. And so this created a tremendous amount of backlash in the secular press. And before he introduces his conversations on the topic, which will take up approximately three or four of our meetings, our vadim, he first starts off by talking about the understanding of the fact that when people start writing and screaming and yelling, he says there's not going to be too much that you're going to get through in the process. He says, we sometimes have to go ahead and realize that the noise, the loud noise, requires us to stop and look at something. On the other side of it, we also have to realize, v'acharei harash kol demama daka, that after the loud noise, there is a small calming noise. And that is the job, that the little sound, the little voice, that's where you'll find HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So yes, loud noises that exist in society, loud protests, loud screaming, loud rioting, all of those things that go on in life, says Rav Volbi, those are reasons for us to stop and realize that there's an issue that requires examination. Does the examination always lead to a different conclusion? No, it does not. However, it's our responsibility to realize that we're not going to find God in the loud noise. Sometimes we're going to find the need to just wait for the calm in order to react. And sometimes that's important for us also. Rushing to a reaction is not always the smartest way to proceed. And so therefore, with that, he turns to discuss the family. And he says, before I even get into that, let me add a second point of introduction. Sometimes we study the Torah. And in modern sensibilities, we study the Torah, we don't connect to it very well. Well, he says, you have to remember something. The point of the Torah, says the Mechilta and Parshas Yisro, is the understanding of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, the understanding of accepting the responsibility of the yoke of heaven upon you. One doesn't accept the yoke of heaven if one doesn't understand all of the mitzvot HaTorah, that ultimately each one is a means for us to get to know, appreciate, and accept the sovereignty, the role of God in the world. He says, the Mechilta says, that's like a king who comes to a country and they say, wow, make us some rules so we know that you love us. He says, first accept that I'll be your king. Then if I see that you accept me as a king, then I'll put together a government, a rule of law. But if you don't want me as king, what's the point of having my rules? You're just going to embarrass those and not listen to those as well. A very, very fitting Mechilta for the conversation that we're about to have. He says there are other laws and other systems of law. There was a Roman system of law. There's a British system of law. There was the Magna Carta. There was Ottoman rule. Each one of these systems of law is quite extensive. We ourselves in our shul right now are trying to understand the rule of American law and how it lines up with Torah law and what happens when there's conflict in between. They are quite extensive, but behind all those other systems of law, there is no godliness. There is no need to accept O Malchus Shamayim. But when it comes to Torah, one does have to accept O Malchus Shamayim. If you don't realize that there's a God behind the mitzvos, then the mitzvos, whether they're ceremonial, whether they're active, whether they're passive, even if they sound like good ideas, they are not keeping the Torah. The mitzvos sichlios, if a person doesn't murder, but he doesn't believe that God doesn't want him not to murder. If a person says to himself or herself, yes, the Torah says, lo sinav, don't engage in adultery. But I don't think I want to engage in adultery because it's wrong to my spouse. But to be quite honest, if it's also not a sin to God, then a person doesn't really realize that in a society that changes, then maybe the law changes. Maybe one can not properly act towards his fellow man or towards his spouse. And so therefore, we have to understand that there has to be God throughout the process. This, by the way, says Rav Volbi, is one of the great responsibilities that we have in a social sphere as well. Forget about a family sphere. We understand that the role of the Torah and the role of the Jewish people. We say it every day when we daven is l'sakein olam b'malchus shakai v'chol b'nei basa yikru b'shmecha, that the Jews' role in the world, especially in the diaspora, is to set the world up to follow Malchus Hashem. Well, you know, certain societies, certain segments of the Jewish population, usually not as well knowledgeable in the Jewish population and not accepting so much of the role of God, they talk about Tikkun Olam as a fundamental tenet of the faith. But Tikkun Olam is not a yesod in life on it in of itself. It's Tikkun Olam b'Malchus Shakai. And if you can't understand that there's a Malchus Hashem, then there is no Tikkun Olam within that process. And so a person who doesn't have that understanding lives in a world with an eclectic system. And that is going to ruin the understanding of our relationship with God. Well, turning to family law, there are the issues concerning the family are issues that are there that, when put together properly, will help create tomorrow's generations. But, again, when it comes to the rules of how to build tomorrow's generation, it also has to be built with the basic understanding of the Kabbalas o Malchus Shamayim. And of course, in his time and in ours, the great challenges that exist into what makes a Jewish family, and what makes a Jewish family legitimate, and what makes a Jewish family a system of Kedusha with Hashem, is fundamental and difficult, and it becomes a challenge. However, says Rav Volbe, while the Torah can exist within all sorts of economic systems, within all sorts of political systems, it can exist in an agricultural society or in an industrial society. It can exist in a democracy and give us directions under a monarchy. But still, notwithstanding, the Torah can't handle changes in family life. Family life, by definition, has to have a Torah basis, and within that Torah basis has to be there has to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are three shutvim that exist, the Gemara tells us. Three partnerships that exist in a Jewish family. One is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what Chazal tells us. Zachu Shechina b'neihem. When you have a Jewish marriage, a proper Jewish marriage, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right in there. But lo zachu esho chlasa, and if not, the fire will consume the family life. There have been a number of homes that existed, a number of batim that existed in Jewish history, right? There's a Beis HaMikdash, there's a Beis HaMedrash. All of those things have existed, and we've existed even when they weren't able to exist. We've lived over 2,000 years without a Beis HaMikdash. And it's very hard for us to live without our shuls. God knows we learned that we've been learning that in the last 11 months. But one thing we certainly will have an impossible time to live with is when we don't have a Jewish family. There needs to be a recognition of Jewish family, and that Jewish family has to be able to exist with a mindset, says Rav Volbe, with a mindset that it is within the understanding and under the rule of Hashem. And so therefore he says, that's why before we even receive the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kosomar lebeis Yaakov ulebesaget lebnei Yisrael. First, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to speak to the women. First, you speak to the women because they understand what it means to have a basic home, to understand that there has to be that the Jewish nation is built on the solid Jewish home. And that tells us, if that's the case, we honor our women, because the way a Jewish woman goes, that's the way her family is going to go. And we need to keep that as fundamental. It's not a challenge to us to say that our women are our keres habayis. This is not a statement of the fact that we don't applaud feminism. Quite the opposite. Someone sent me a number of notes from women who became Chabad shluchot. She continued to be well. And each one in the article happened to point out that they were women's studies majors on college campuses. About four or five women all over the Western Hemisphere, specifically in the United States and Canada. And as they're on college campuses, they made deals with friends who were going to Chabad House, agreed to take a class or two in the Chabad House, in exchange for the transition and the trans understanding that someone else would come to take a class with them at a women's studies class. And they discovered something fascinating. The appreciation and the esteem that we hold our women in is so much greater and more than the appreciation that even the women's studies majors have. We have to appreciate the maila of being a woman. And that begins with an understanding of Akeres Habayis. As Rav Volbe says, isn't it more important to be an to understand that you are the Akeres Habayis? Not that that means that you're not outside ever, nor does it mean that your voice needs to be stifled. But that's certainly different than being treated as a prutza berachov, being treated as a nothing in the street. We have to hold our women up to a high esteem, and that begins by understanding that they're the builders of the next generation. They set the tone, and the husbands will come around. The Torah begins in that place, and the Torah understands that with that, that we will never be able to change. And that is something that we really want to inspire. And so, as the world rages and tries to redefine itself with all sorts of changes into what makes a family and what doesn't make a family, and how family life has to be looked at differently in secular society. But for the Torah to endure, the first thing we got to do is shore up our families, and to understand that a Jewish family is the building block, not only of today, but for the continuity of the people tomorrow. And so as we're going through our days, we need to sit down and talk to our kids and let them know that you always have a home.